For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
Talking about chicken a la king, mango and garbanzo tabbouleh, potatoes and vegetables with roasted garlic and basil, zucchini ziti, granola fruit bar. Yeah. Look at all this beautiful food.
Guys, this is a very fun bonus episode of Green Eggs and Dan. The incredible Tawny Newsom was my co-host, and we got to interview our great friend and bajillion dollar properties co-star, Paul F. Tompkins. Tawny is a comedian who can be seen on IFC's Brockmire and listened to on her podcast, Yo, Is This Racist? On Earwolf. Paul F. Tompkins, boy, oh boy, where do I begin? He is a comedy genius who plays Mr. Peanut Butter on BoJack Horseman. He is the creator of the legendary podcast Spontaneation. He can also be heard on the podcast Freedom on Earwolf. I think he may be one of the funniest people in the world. Please welcome Tawny Newsom and Paul F. Tompkins. Tawny.
Hi.
How are you? You just got back.
I'm great.
From the ice land.
I did. The land of ice, fire, snow, and volcanoes. That's not their slogan, but it's what I saw there.
Yeah.
I saw a lot of cool things. It's a very cool place.
What did you eat? Anything exciting?
I ate so much fish. I ate every kind of fish. There's all of the...
A little on the nose.
Yeah. Well, okay. You know, that's what they gave me. Also, anything else was $25 for a hamburger, so...
Oh, is it one of those?
Oh, it's a crazy expensive place.
Really?
Everything there. I mean, we went like total...
Like the fish also or just the imported stuff?
The fish, you know, if you're in like a more remote town and they just like caught it that day, like it's a little cheaper. But if you're in Reykjavik, yeah, you're spending like $30 to $40 on a regular lunch entree.
No way.
Yeah. But it's a really cool, weird place with a lot of like pickled things and like different kind of smoked, cured fishes, obviously, and... little langostino lobsters that are like super succulent.
Is it a lot like the food court in IKEA's?
Oh, no. You're thinking of Sweden? That's a different country.
Got it. Should have done my research.
Yeah, you need your
no,
geography.
Did you do the fermented shark? I know about the fermented shark. I've seen that in a lot of Bourdain. Whenever he goes there, he does it.
I did. This very nice man who actually is like a PA for a bunch of movies that shoot in Iceland made so much money PAing in Iceland that he opened his own restaurant. He's like a 28-year-old kid.
Okay.
He's got this cool restaurant. It's called Icelandic Street Food. There's a plug for if you're going to Reykjavik, go eat
there.
We're
going to have a link on our site.
But he sells like $6 little chunks of this shark, and it's disgusting.
Does it?
It's horrifying.
Is it awful? I heard it has like almost a uriny.
He literally told us, "Do not open this in this establishment." He said, "Go on the street."
He goes,
"Don't open it in your car." It's like a little like a little ramekin, a tiny thing, and he's like, "Just open this on the street, take one bite, and throw it away."
Wow.
And that's exactly. I couldn't even swallow it.
It's like the Viking version of what's that fruit that in Asia you're not allowed to eat it in the subways? It's like jackfruit. Is it jackfruit?
No, jackfruit you can eat. Durian?
Durian, yes. Thank
durian
you. It's like durian. Yeah, you're not allowed. It's illegal to eat it in the subways in Asia.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, hey.
So let's call it Viking durian.
Viking durian.
Yeah.
That's accessible.
Yeah.
For people.
Yeah. Okay, so you took it out, you ate it. What, gag reflex or?
No, it's just like I'm okay with weird, I don't like get grossed out by things easily, but it just was so unpleasant. It was just like filling, first of all, it was like the consistency of chewing on a pencil eraser.
Yes.
So that's not fun. And then it's like the most fish, the most like ammonia-y.
Oof.
Yeah, I just spit it right out.
Really?
But you know what's crazy about Iceland? The cheapest produce to buy there, avocados.
What?
Isn't that so weird? I think they get them from Africa or something.
Really?
Yeah.
They have a deal with the Africans.
So we went to the grocery store. My husband and I were camper vanning around. So we did a lot of cooking our own food because we were there to like hike and see nature. So I was like not trying to spend a bunch of money on mediocre fish meals.
But you did on one though. You said you had one fuck off meal.
Yeah, we did. For our anniversary, we went to this place. I can't speak this language. My mouth doesn't.
There's a lot of O's with slashes through them.
You know, I'm like really good with a lot of languages, but I think like the brownness of me will not allow me to speak anything that's that close to the Arctic Circle.
Yeah.
I can't fuck with any Nordic languages at all. So this place was called Grillmarkschauinch.
We will not have a link to it on our website.
But it's an incredible meal if you're in Reykjavik. We had these, like, they have this, like, 4,000-degree grill that they throw shit on.
Ooh. Was it like a Big Green Egg type thing?
I don't know. It's like a big flat, like I don't know. They're at like a flat top grill, basically, like a fancy flat top
grill. They had a grill. They had a grill.
And they cooked like these amazing king crab legs, and they just cook them so fast that the outside gets incredibly like charred and burnt, and then they like squeeze lemon all over it, and the inside's super juicy and almost like kind of raw. It's crazy.
Wow.
I love that.
So that was a good one.
That was a great one.
Was it tasting menu type situation?
No, because I have all these fucking dietary restrictions.
Which
we
are about to get to, which really annoys me.
I know. You chose me thinking that I was...
You're one of my favorite people to eat with. I love eating with Tawny. And apparently one of the cast members of Bajillion Dollar Properties, Mandelmon, gave her a book and it completely changed. Okay. I'm so sick and tired of anyone with a Netflix account just like, have you seen this documentary? You can't eat meat anymore.
Yeah, well, that's not what I
did. You can't do it.
That's not what I did.
Do you know that it hurts cows to be turned into burgers? It's not a pleasant experience.
This is a different thing. I'm in my mid-30s. I've been eating a bunch of shit my whole life. I've had great meals my whole life. I was tired of feeling sluggish every day. Mandel gave me a book. Mandel's the thinnest person I've ever met. She gave me a fucking book, and I was like, sure, I like vegetables. Let me just do it differently. And now I feel amazing.
Oh my
God. So you know what? Shut up about your documentary. No. I've seen all those, and I was still eating meat anyway.
So what was it about this book that tipped you over the edge? It doesn't even have videos of things dying.
Because I just tried it for like 2 days and I was like, holy shit, I do feel better.
What is it? What is it?
It's just basically just like, try to be vegan, and if you can't, fuck it.
God.
So I'm gonna...
That's the whole book?
Yeah. I'm paraphrasing.
Did she just write a post-it and hand it to you?
Whatever. You know what you should be proud about, though, is that I'm extremely flexible. So when I go somewhere like Iceland, I'm going to eat all the fish.
You spat it out.
No, but the book is like, if it doesn't taste good, don't fucking eat it.
Well, you don't do dairy. You didn't do dairy before, and now you don't do dairy in anything else,
I haven't
apparently.
Done dairy for 7 years, bruh.
Anyway, I have no desire to go to Iceland for the food. I think it would be a fun... I think you went for the right reasons.
Yeah. I mean, it's the most incredible looking place I've ever been.
But we're going to take a little break, and we're going to come back with our best friend in the world, Paul F. Tompkins.
Yay!
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
Okay, we are back. And now we are going to meet our guest today. Paul F. Tompkins is here.
Yeah. Hello,
Paul.
Fam. I love
Hi.
You.
Thank you so much for doing the show.
Of course.
It's like a little mini reunion.
Yeah.
Any excuse to get to see you guys.
Oh, come
Even
on.
Even this.
Well,
you were just already in the building anyway. Right? You live
right.
and sleep here?
Chances are I would have been passing through.
Thank you so much for coming. Hopefully you won't regret being here because we are about to take a look in your fridge.
All right.
Paul sent us pictures of his refrigerator and we are going to go through it.
I love these pictures.
These are great, Paul.
What are you talking about?
Okay.
I love these pictures.
I do because I don't know, because like I think a fridge, like you get used to the way yours looks all the time. Like, mm-hmm. I open my fridge. I don't look in a lot of people's fridges.
It's very voyeur.
You don't?
It's very voyeuristic.
So to see these little details, I'm just going to dive right in. First of all, on the top shelf, you have a 1996 bottle of Dom.
Ooh,
just chilling up there.
Right. I forgot that was in there. That's been in there for... This is its second house, by the way.
Really?
Really?
Yes.
Why is it... It looks like it has duct tape on the side of it. Like, you had a celebration. You're about to celebrate.
It is not duct tape. I think it came with that. I think that was like sent to the house for some occasion. I can't remember if we bought that for an occasion or if that was sent to the house as a congratulations for something.
Got it.
But it's it is not duct tape, but there is some tape on there.
Okay.
The other thing that struck me is over here in the corner.
Yeah.
You have Whole Foods brand steak sauce, it looks like.
Yes, from the 365. My wife loves the 365 by Whole Foods.
Really?
She loves it.
I do too.
When we went there, when it first opened in our neighborhood, she was so excited about it. She was like, you have to come with me to the supermarket. And so we went on a Saturday. It was like the first Saturday they were open. And it was like Soviet Russia in there, where there was a ton of people, incredibly long lines. Shelves were empty because people had just come in
just
and
grabbing it.
Like, yeah, what? I don't understand.
Okay, if you don't know what the 365 is, I don't know if they have them in all cities. It is a Whole Foods store that is less expensive.
It's selected cities, like an independent movie.
Yeah.
Wait, I didn't know that.
Why release another? Oh, yeah, yeah.
I didn't know that. I thought that it's a brand. It's a Whole Foods brand that's in all Whole Foods. I didn't know that it's an actual.
It is. That's how it started. Okay. And then they made, and then Whole Foods made a spinoff supermarket.
Yeah. Out. Like the mayor.
Yeah.
They made a spinoff show. Cross-promoting for a show I am not on. But it's a supermarket where they've gotten rid of like the $50 bottles of balsamic vinegar and like the expensive cheeses and stuff. So it's a more affordable.
It's like their Trader Joe's sort of?
Yeah, yes, and it's exactly. Primarily the 365 products.
Wow.
Sprinkled in with some other products.
Yes.
Okay. Well, you know, look, I love the 365 brand as well. Mm-hmm. But there's some things that I feel like you need to go for Old Faithful. Like, I wouldn't want 365 brand sriracha, which you have sriracha here.
Yes.
And I feel like you want that.
Well, that's because you know why?
Why?
Because there is a chemical in real sriracha that. Okay, fine. Fuck you. This is why you have me on here. You said you know
right.
more about food than anyone
that's
I know.
Was this in the book that Mandel gave
no,
you?
No, this shit I learned a long time ago when I went to the Whole Foods looking for regular ass sriracha, and they were like, this bearded dude was like, actually, you know, there's a chemical in that that we don't find to be blah, 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 whatever. So they make their own. But it doesn't taste as good. You need that poison.
You need that chemical.
You need that poison.
But now here's the thing. Here's what you must know.
Yeah.
I don't use steak sauce. I put nothing on my steak.
Good.
Ooh. I put nothing on my steak. My wife loves steak sauce.
Regardless of the cut of steak, you'll put nothing on your steak?
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Really?
I don't feel like it needs it. You
usually
know what
a
mean?
Filet or a ribeye, I'm with you. I think like when it comes to like a skirt steak or a hanger steak, mm-hmm. I like a little sauce.
A little
that.
Seasoning I like, but not.
Just
but
salt
not
and pepper,
sauce.
Or you like a dry rub?
I leave it up to the chef.
I want to get back to the fridge. I really identify with this, Paul.
Also, there is a bottle of A1 in there somewhere. My wife takes no chances.
Oh, wait, I think you're right. It's right behind.
In the steak sauce section.
It's right behind the steak
so,
sauce.
So, Paul, I identify with this because I also am married and have two people in my house. So you've got a carton of almond milk and then straight up carton of whole vitamin D whole milk as well. Who is drinking what?
The almond milk was for me.
Cool.
And the regular milk is for my wife. I'm not a milk drinker. I kind of find it disgusting. And so I decided, you know, my doctor told me that my cholesterol was high. And so rather than go on pills, tried to manage it with diet. And so I was eating cereal, which I don't like that much.
Mm-hmm. What kind of cereal were you rocking?
I was trying everything.
Really?
I was trying everything. Like any kind of healthy cereal.
Oh, God. I'm a muesli guy.
Muesli is a little too extreme for me.
If you leave it in the milk for a while, let it soften up.
Well, it's tough. You were going from like a hot breakfast, I remember you telling me. You love a hot breakfast.
I love a hot breakfast.
You love a hot breakfast.
Wait, like what? Like eggs and bacon?
Yeah, man.
Oh,
yeah.
Eggs, bake, potato, you know, the hot breakfast.
Here's what I like for a reasonable breakfast for me is a couple eggs and some of those vegetarian sausage patties from Morningstar Farms.
Mm-hmm.
I like the hot and spicy.
Hot and spicy Morningstar. Hell yeah.
I've never had these.
They're really good.
Yeah. Can I go off on a tangent?
Nods all around.
For a second, can I go off on a tangent?
You can do whatever you want.
I play the jingle.
Great. Right. I went to...
it's time for a tangent.
Sine, cosine, tangent.
No.
Wait, no? That's not the tangent jingle.
Do your tangent.
I went to Umami Burger 2 days ago. Mm-hmm. I had the Impossible Burger. I went with a friend of mine who is a veg, and it's impossible that this is not meat.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, I swear to God, I feel like I have one of the better palates of everyone in the world.
Mm-hmm.
If you didn't tell me that it was veg, I wouldn't have known.
That's cool.
It blew my mind.
Yeah. Do you think it's meat?
I think we'll find out one day that it's totally meat.
Do you think that's what makes
it
so impossible?
Maybe just meat. Maybe they're just like, it's impossible.
That
right?
would be an amazing scam.
It's the Milli, it's the Milli Vanilli of burgers. We're going to find out one day. It was meat all along.
Wait, there was another thing I wanted to talk about in this first. There's so many things.
Oh,
I know
well,
we
first of all, I see a little badois peeking in the back. You see
what?
The badois? Badois is a very fancy pants sparkling water. And speaking its little...
Oh, that would be my wife as well.
Yeah, I like the way your wife eats and drinks. By the way, this is a very condiment-heavy fridge, but like the best condiments. It's like, this is the best college fridge I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, like you have preserves, not jam.
Yeah.
This is lovely.
Oh, and tell me...
You have a sambal.
Tawny was pointing out this. Is it like a... Is it a New Orleans-y thing, this coffee?
Oh, Café du Monde. Yeah, yes. You got that Café du Monde.
Oh, I didn't even notice that.
Chicory coffee. It's
what
delicious.
Is that stuff?
It's coffee grounds, but they blend chicory in it, so it has that distinct taste.
What's chicory?
It's a root. It's like a... I don't know. It's like a clove type of
deal.
Oh,
okay. Got it.
Right?
Sure.
Yeah.
I've never known, and I've never questioned it.
I guess I kind of made that up, but it sounds... You
know. I do not know where that coffee came from or how long it has been in the fridge.
Ooh.
I also love bold choice. You'd go tall cans of La Croix.
That is my wife's preference. I don't drink La Croix.
None at all?
No, I don't get it. I don't see what's so great about it.
Can I tell you something that really bothers me about La Croix?
Sure, Dan, please. This is a place where you can air these grievances.
Those assholes, if you go on their site, they say it's pronounced La Croix.
Sure.
Well, spell it C-R-O-Y then.
Oh!
Ooh.
Pew, pew, pew.
Pew, pew. This is where we put sparkling beverages on blast.
You're LaCroix, next. You just got your ass danded to you.
Ooh. Pew, pew. You're next, Crystal Pepsi.
Yeah, LaCroix for me is, it's the same with like cucumber water, or if you go to a restaurant and they just put lemon in your water, it's like, I don't like the hint of a flavor of a thing.
Okay.
Like if I just want to drink water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's water. That's like why I asked for it.
Yes.
And the hint of a flavor thing is like, I'd rather just have the whole thing or not that thing.
Yeah.
But I don't get the appeal of, it tastes slightly like this.
You know what I'm getting from you is that you're a pure, bold flavor palate. Like, you want a steak that tastes like a steak. You are not putting sauces on it. You don't want a hint of a flavor. You want a full hot breakfast.
PBFs all the way.
You're not trying to eat a cold, grainy cereal situation.
Also, I'm
bold, pure palate, Paul.
Yeah, I get that. But I also get the, you know, oh, that liquid that keeps us all alive and has for billions of years. Yeah, we can perfect that.
Yeah. You know what would make it better? If it sort of tasted almost like lemonade.
And they have the coconut one that's a very polarizing flavor, the coconut La Croix.
Yeah.
Is it really?
Yeah, people go nuts. Either they love it. It's like country music of sparkling water. They either love it or they can't get enough of it.
I'm ending
it. Or they can not.
They either love it or they can't live without it.
All right, that's enough sparkling water talk.
Okay.
Because comedians talk about sparkling water too much, and I'm like, we have other.
It's true. Why?
Because it's like the easiest. I don't know.
Can I admit something? Since we haven't been on set for a bajillion in such a long time, I would jack like two La Croix every day.
Why are you telling us like we don't know this?
I would take. Oh, you knew. You guys knew.
Yeah.
The whole time.
I knew that you were always.
You're
taking.
Saying you would take two home?
Yeah, and I had a fridge full.
What
just
a
slowly,
confession.
I would slowly fill up my fridge. It was like the Shawshank Redemption, where you just slowly,
come on,
a little bit at a time. I had a fridge full of
you'd
stolen
like shake a can out of your pant leg when you got back to your apartment.
Paul, what is in the glass? It looks like a glass lock Pyrex Tupperware.
Yes, that is some leftovers, which is my wife's favorite food.
Is there anything that you eat in this fridge, Paul?
It's not a whole lot, really. Well, my wife cooks. She loves to cook. And so she cooks for us very often. And I am not a big cook. I make – well, it's also since we got together, if someone has – in a relationship – in a couple, if someone has a strength and they're stronger than you are at that thing, they take over that – area, and then your skills atrophy in that area.
100%.
So I haven't like cooked for myself in such a long time.
Wow.
And it's like, but I used to all the time when I lived by myself. Of course I did.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, to eat.
My wife went out of town for a month to the Edinburgh Fringe Festival. She was doing a play, and I was like, what do I do? I couldn't get it together to cook. And I ordered food every single day.
Oh, my God.
Every single day.
I love it.
Did you get sick of it? Were you just like, I got to make something?
Yes, but it was always too late. Because another thing about me is I am all of a sudden hungry. And then it's like, now I have to have food immediately. It's not like I should plan ahead because in a couple hours it'll be time for dinner and I'm going to want to eat something. It's like I'll just be doing what I'm doing and then it's like I must eat now.
Yeah.
Right.
And then it's too late, you know, because cooking when you're starving is the worst thing in the world.
Starting a braise when you're really, really hungry. Now, let me ask you this. This can transition into one of our questions we wanted to ask you, which is slow food, fast food, home food. What's your favorite slow food? Like a, let's say, let's say you're going to find your favorite fancy pants restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
What's your favorite fast food meal that you get?
Okay.
And what's your favorite home cooked meal that Janie cooks for you?
Ooh,
the best fine dining experience you've ever had.
Mm. It doesn't have to be fine dining. I would say this could be chef driven restaurants. You know, something that's.
I'm gonna say Italian food for sure is my favorite to go out to eat. To me, you cannot beat Italian food. And I'm half Italian. I grew up with it. And every Sunday we would have what my mother called red sauce.
Yeah.
And
Would she cook a big bowl of it with a bunch of like mystery meats inside and use it for the pasta as well? No, this
Wait,
is like,
what?
It's a Sunday. It's like, you know, they have a cotechino of sausage in there. They've got a pork shoulder in there and then they kind of cook it all together.
She would not get too fancy with it. She usually kept it pretty simple and it would be some type of pasta with red sauce and sometimes meat, sometimes not, you know, meatballs or sausage or whatever. Sometimes she would, you know, cook a big pot of that stuff. Every once in a while we'd have like chicken cacciatore or something like that. Mm. Once a month she would make her own pasta.
Ooh, cool.
A month she would like get out the machine and crank it. And, you know, it was like an all day process. And then you have to like leave it out to dry. So it'd be like on various towels and hanging over things in the kitchen. And I'm embarrassed to say now, I did not like the homemade pasta as much as the store-bought pasta.
You know what? Can
you
I
like
tell
you
something?
Chemicals.
That's okay.
I love chemicals.
I will tell you, that is okay. And even in pretentious foodie circles, there is something that you get from a dry pasta you can't get from a fresh pasta, which is the al dente. You can never get that from a fresh pasta.
True. However, I recently had, this is tough because I don't know how much of it is the difference between this pasta and that pasta or just my taste changing because it's years later now. Our friends around the street, around the corner from us, are huge food people. They make a lot of their own stuff. They're bakers, you know, so they always have they love experimenting. They always got some crazy thing going on. Made their own pasta recently, invited us to come around and eat it. And it was delicious, delicious, you know, and it was the same thing. It's like, it's the technology has advanced slightly, but you know, the same kind of cranking the machine and stuff like that and had, but now there's more racks for drying pasta than there
less
used
towels.
To be. Yes, less towels. And it was delicious, you know.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I feel bad that I didn't like my own mother's homemade pasta.
Well, you were also a kid, you know.
Yeah.
You're at school eating Dunkaroos and stuff, and then you come
it's
home.
It's true. I feel like as a kid,
but when
you
I
never.
Was a, so much of that stuff did not exist when I was a kid.
Really?
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Oh.
There was, I think, way less options of, you know, sort of garbage for kids that
you didn't have Lunchables back then?
No, I remember I was an adult when Lunchables came out.
I think,
really?
Yeah. I think it's funny because I think you're right. My mom would slave and cook this Persian food for like 3 days and I'd bring it to school and I'd trade it for like some Lunchables.
Yeah. Yep.
I'd be like, I don't want this junk.
Oh, yeah.
I want American food.
Okay. So do you have a favorite Italian meal that you had, like at a restaurant, let's say?
Honest to God, like I could eat spaghetti and meatballs anywhere. It's tough to beat.
Yeah.
Now, of course, there's Italian restaurants. There's an Italian restaurant in our neighborhood we go to all the time, and I always try a different thing.
Which one?
Al-Aqua.
Al-Aqua, new place, right?
It's a relatively new place, yeah. It opened up not long after we moved into that neighborhood.
Uh-huh.
When we first went, it was like, We tried everything, and we really liked the ambiance of the place, but the food just wasn't that good. Yeah. And then we tried the pizza. The pizza was so good, and now the rest of the food has caught up. So all of their pasta dishes are terrific, and so I'll always try a different thing. And anytime I go out to an Italian restaurant, I'll always try – I always look for a thing that I haven't had before, you know, a type of pasta or a way it's prepared or whatever. But every once in a while, man, spaghetti and meatballs, boy, oh, boy, it's really good.
Yeah, that's also one of those things that brings up memory, like a food memory type thing, like a simple but done well can blow your mind. Fast food, favorite.
Oh, fast food.
You were on the road for a long time.
Yeah. Oh, God.
I'm sure.
That's – man, being a comic on the road, and if you're playing some club where it's like, we put you up at this hotel. It's so close to the club, but the club's in the middle of nowhere. Mm-hmm. So it's like, this. I only spent an hour of the day at this place. Why do I have to be so close to here? Right. But like, I remember one very bleak gig where I was probably going through something at the time, and I was like getting – I was eating at the Perkins every day, and then, oh, what a drag. Like that
Denny's, but sadder.
That was bleak. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. There's like people at Perkins that work at Perkins that are like, oh, I wish I could call up to the big leagues to work at the Denny's.
Yeah.
Fast food, when I first moved here and we had – I discovered Jack in the Box.
I've never eaten Jack in the Box.
That was not a thing where I grew up. Mm-hmm. It was a regional thing. And so you'd see like, I remember seeing Johnny Carson make jokes about Jack in the Box. Like, what is Jack in the Box? and like on What's Happening, they talk about Fat Burger.
Yeah.
That's bold for a network television sitcom to make regional food jokes.
Yeah.
Interesting. I had no idea.
But I think my favorite probably is probably McDonald's, a double quarter pounder with cheese.
Ooh, Old Faithful.
That's a thing that I will allow myself to eat maybe once every 5 years.
Wow.
And I had it recently because I had this weird day where I had – it's not that weird, unfortunately, but back-to-back-to-back appointments, and I didn't realize, oh, yeah, I have to factor in that I have to travel to all these things in Los Angeles. And so I never factored in lunch.
Right.
Like, when am I going to eat? And so I was between the second and third things, and I was late for everything. I was a half hour late for all of these appointments because I forgot about the first one.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no.
So that put me behind the entire day.
And then one of them you showed up to with a bag of McDonald's.
Oh, no, I ate in the car.
Yes.
Ate in the car.
Like a real man.
Taking bites at stoplights.
Yep.
I got a quarter pounder, a double quarter pounder with cheese, and it was fucking delicious.
Oh, so good.
Like the first bite, I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. Yep. That's right.
Yep. This would go great with that bottle of Dom in my fridge.
But we've been saving that for a special occasion, and I think like some special occasions have come and gone, and we still haven't. We just forget it's in there.
Yeah.
It's like part of the fridge now.
It anchors the fridge.
It anchors
great.
The fridge.
It looks great up there.
You can see that's clear tape.
Oh, it's not duct tape.
It's not duct tape.
That would be very funny if it was
trying to preserve like the structural integrity of that box.
We bought this on Canal Street. Some guy was selling Dom Perignon. It's got duct tape on it. Home food. Favorite home cooked meal.
That's really tough because Janie is a great cook,
my wife.
She is
a great cook, yes.
And she says, you just like everything that I make, which is kind of true. But I'm trying to think like a favorite thing that she makes. She makes a baked ziti that I really love. She makes stuff up like it's hard because there are things that she makes that are not sort of known recipes, but she'll make them a lot. And it's like, I like that thing. That thing.
It's an original.
Yeah.
So she's like, is she the type that will go to the farmer's market, get a bunch of stuff, not know what she's going to make, and then come home?
Absolutely.
And like, oh, that's cool. So she knows what she's doing.
She's got a million cookbooks, and she'll make stuff from that, but she'll also, you know, just like – sometimes out of necessity where she hasn't gotten a bunch of – she'll just get like some chicken and then it's like, let's see what's in the fridge and we'll put it all together. I'm blanking because I feel like there's definitely a staple thing that she makes that I love that it's a go-to for us and I can't think of it now.
And let's say it's Janie's birthday. She's coming home. You want to surprise her. You want to surprise her. You've been slaving away all day.
Taking those trumpet lessons.
You've been taking the trumpet. she walks into the door. Slaving away. You've been on Epicurious. You've been on YouTube. You've been getting all the recipes. You've been seeing what Mary Batal, all the different types of recipes for this dish that you are making. What are you making?
If I were to, we've talked about this because we have friends where it's a similar situation where the wife is an amazing cook and loves to cook, cooks all the time. And the husband has one big meal that he will make once a year. It's like, it's time. I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
And he cooks for the whole family. And I feel like I got to have one of those things. And I think it would be something Italian for sure.
Something Italian.
I think I would make like, I would love to be able to make like an arrabbiata, like to make a nice spicy sauce with some pasta and a little meat. And I would make that my thing.
Interesting. Can I tell you what the secret is to all that good stuff?
Sure.
Because I think I'm getting your flavor palette. I think I'm getting it. Anchovies. Anchovies.
You are not getting my flavor.
Hear me out.
No, they do. They add a base.
They add a base. When you're making a sauce, it melts in there. You won't taste it, but it adds that umami.
Can I tell you what? I don't mind.
Umami Burger is a sponsor, by the way. I have to say umami three times during the.
Mushrooms, anchovies, I can take if they are like totally ground up.
Yeah. No, I'm not saying we bring you a plate of anchovies and with toothpicks and you just go to town.
That's
like a weirdo.
It sounds like that's what you said.
No.
Am I wrong?
Let's play the tape back. It sounds like that's what he said.
Wait, back the tape. Tawny, you literally said it's a base, and I said, yeah, it's a base.
I remember you saying, you should eat a plate of anchovies.
You should get an anchovy and eat it like a cartoon cat. Just pull out the skeleton.
Do anchovies have skeletons?
They do. Or is that sardines?
They're so small.
Yeah, there's a little skeleton. Nate eats them. My husband eats them like whole, like a cartoon cat.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, it depends on your anchovies. You got your dry, you got your salted. And you got your oil ones.
New
ones
York Dan. Oil.
Yeah.
New York Dan's back, everybody.
New York Dan's back.
Dan Hatton.
We'll get back to Paul and Tawny in a second. But first, statistics show that 96% of Americans, when making a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, put the peanut butter first, then the jelly on after. Which means that 4% of Americans are fucking monsters.
We're back,
yay.
And it's time to talk about. we all have our food pet peeves, Paul. It seems like you got one that you really want to talk about.
I think that shared plates does not work with. Because were you there in Austin, right?
Yeah.
We went to another place that was sort of like we sort of found out accidentally that it was a shared plate place,
and then it was like
the food was really good, but we ordered too much stuff. It was, and it took forever. The service was bad.
Yeah.
That dude, that weird dude that waited on us.
We had a weird waiter.
He was a weird guy.
Oh, you're talking about the Italian place. You know I was mad already.
Oh, I was already mad.
I remember this because I wasn't even there. And you guys on the group chat, you were like, Dan, you would have died if you went to this restaurant.
It's true.
You
would have lost your mind.
And my foodie friends in Austin, when I told them where I was going to dinner, their faces were like, really?
What's the name? What's the name of the place? We want to restaurant shame people.
No, we will restaurant shame.
No.
Because maybe they're good now.
Well, what are we going to put on the restaurant shame site?
We need content.
It can't be blank.
I'm not going to restaurant shame an Italian place because I'm always on the wrong side of this. But if Paul says it was bad, it was bad.
The food was good. The overall experience was not good.
I
feel like shared plate places, no more than three people. Like you should not go with a party of more than three people.
Yes.
It takes too long and you either order way too much food or everybody goes away hungry.
But counterpoint, then the good place we went to in Austin was also shared plate and I feel like everyone had a great time.
Well,
do you disagree?
I wasn't there, so I wouldn't
know. Yes, you were. You sat next to me. And Natalie Morales sat across from us. Name drop.
Oh, no. That place was good.
That place was good.
You were there too, Dan.
I fell in love with Natalie Morales at that table.
We could tell.
Oh, she's
really?
The best.
Yeah. Was that being too obvious?
No, I was just like, I'm ignored now. I was in a corner, and across from me was you two falling in love, and I was like, well, but at least these Brussels sprouts are good.
I remember I reached out to her. I was like, you should come to a comedy show. She's like, yeah, me and my boyfriend would love to come. And I was like, gah!
Still effective.
Yeah.
always go with the classics.
Can I tell you, can I piggyback on your restaurant pet?
Sure.
I hate when the fucking waiter was like, have you been here before? Do you know how this works?
Why?
Can I explain it to you? Yeah, I know how it fucking works. I point to something, and then a chef will cook it and bring it to the table.
No, you're wrong for this.
I hate it so much.
You're wrong for this, because some people really do show up to a place and are like, I'm confused. Am I supposed to just order one giant plate of octopus and that's all I get to eat? Are we supposed to share shit? Like, people don't always know how to restaurant.
It's so true. Like, but I understand what you mean, though, that it's become – there's a thing with – restaurants that happens where they all start saying the same phrases. Mm. And it's weird how it's, I don't know how it's spread, but like when servers started saying, all of a sudden everyone started saying, how are first bites? Where they come up with these weird phrases, and it's like one place is like, we're going to do it differently. So instead of saying, how are you liking it so far, I want you to say, how are first bites?
Oh my God, I've never heard that.
You've never heard that?
I would flip the table over.
Disgusting.
I hear it a lot.
I would flip the fucking table over.
Yeah.
How are first bites?
You'd go on a Dampage.
I'd go on a Dampage.
I was going to go on a tangent about first bites, but I don't think we need it.
You know what I also don't like?
But you know what I mean? Where it's like all of a sudden everybody's saying this? How did this happen?
It's because there's like a thing about like service design now that's happening with restaurants where people are designing, consultants are coming in and saying like, here's the way to do it, whatever. So that is a response to what people used to say was like, how is everything?
Yeah.
When like you've just started tasting it, there was a feeling of like, well, we've just started. We can't tell you how everything is. Isn't this boring? Is this why you have me on?
No, I love this. This is the stuff I get off on.
But here's what this reminds me of. When in the lead up to our wedding, we started watching all these wedding planning shows, uh-huh. right? And then after our wedding, we never watched another one again, right?
Sure.
But we noticed a thing. I think it was platinum weddings, where it's just assholes trying to spend as much money mm-hmm. as possible on mm-hmm. their garbage wedding.
Yeah.
And we noticed after you watch like five episodes, you realize, oh, this is a total scam. Where these they're making up shit for you to have at your wedding, and it's just taking advantage of, well, I guess the worst people on earth, people that just want to like somehow rub it in people's faces who are invited to their wedding. Like, look how much money we spent.
They're just looking for a way to matter.
Yeah. So like shit made out of ice and then a customized,
the carving
gobo that will shine your initials on the floor. this stuff.
I love that this is the most expensive thing you could think of is a customized gobo.
It's like that's... But you know that they like charge them a bunch of money for it.
You're right. They probably do charge.
It's a piece of cardboard with stuff cut out of it. Yeah. It's crazy. People will get like a cigar rolling station, like all this dumb shit. And then so after you see it like the third time, you're sort of like, wait, what? This is a thing like a lot of people are getting. And so you realize it's just they've all agreed because it was all different companies. They've all agreed like, oh, okay, this is what we're going to, we've invented a thing to fleece people.
Yeah.
I have an issue with wedding sushi.
Yeah. Oh, that's a big, sure. I feel like that's a huge gamble.
Well, it's a huge gamble. Number one.
That's crazy.
Number two, they just like give you a plate and then the soy sauce is there and the ginger is there, everyone just pours the shit on top. It's very messy.
Well, because also a wedding is basically, I realized this when I basically planned my entire one and we were our own band. I realized that a wedding is the first ever time a restaurant is getting together. Like it's the first time you're like throwing a restaurant.
Yes.
It's the first time like a performance is happening. Like it's opening night of a weird rock musical. It's opening night of a restaurant that has never been together before. Like no one's ever worked with each other before. There's no like, I kept saying like I needed a stage manager at my wedding. I was like, I just need someone who's like knows how to run this shit.
Someone who could coordinate things.
Yeah.
Right.
Instead of me doing it myself.
And then there's a bunch of people that would never be at the same restaurant together.
Never.
In the same place.
No. And the servers don't give a shit about the food because they're not, really trying to be servers. No shade to them.
What happens if somebody doesn't like sushi, let's say? If you can imagine such a person.
Mm.
If somebody doesn't love sushi?
Yeah.
No, I mean, usually they have the sushi section. It's not like that's like you have to have sushi or you can't be a part of the wedding party.
It's an extra bullshit thing.
It's an extra bullshit thing. Yeah. I was thinking about
it. Station.
I was going off. I was doing a tangent on the bullshit things. I think, but bringing it back to pet peeves, another thing that I just, because you were talking about the servers, what about when they say, do you want to hear my specials? I have a salmon. I also have a, I'm like, fucker, you don't have shit.
No, I like that. You're wrong for this.
God damn it, Tony.
Also, when's the last time you had a service job?
I would never.
Get out of here. Get out of here. Okay, as maybe the person with the most recent service industry experience, I feel like that is an example of, you know, you get these like career servers, right? Like in LA, we don't really have that because everyone's trying to do other jobs, right. Which is like fine. But in other cities, you have people whose life career it is to work at these amazing restaurants. And so they take pride in the food and they say things like, I have this tonight, because they actually are excited
about
it.
Just say we. Yeah. Say we have this tonight.
Well, sometimes they say we, but like.
Yeah.
They're like, hey, I'm here to serve you. This is what I have to offer you. I like it.
I like it. It makes it seem like the guy's in charge.
So
like,
Italian.
He knows what he's doing.
So Italian. We got Italian Paul. We got New York Dan.
I went to Philadelphia, and I ordered a cheesesteak, and I wanted provolone on it, and they fucking...
Did you ask for provolone?
It was like I wore a Trump hat to Williamsburg.
place were you at?
I think I was at Pat's.
Okay.
And is that not allowed? Is that like a
thing?
They
lose. They're like, oh, Cheese Whiz. You gotta get the Cheese Whiz.
It's here's the thing. The way some restaurants will tell you that the cheesesteak is supposed to be served is with provolone. I personally think it's a very boring cheese on a cheesesteak. Mm. And I like to go with American cheese, which is delicious on a cheesesteak. Or honestly, Cheese Whiz, which is junky as it is, it fucking works.
Yeah,
on a cheesesteak.
I can get down with any either or.
But
they're
that's
all
the
pretty.
Thing. But it doesn't. It's like when it's people have food. Rules about it's garbage
it's
food.
Garbage
when people have rules about this stuff. It's like you can't. You just eat what you like.
Yeah,
eat what you like. Don't put ketchup on a hot dog in Chicago. I'm saving you the headache. Everyone will shout you out of the place. It's very stressful.
And that's another one that people go nuts with, the deep dish pizza. I was tangenting. Oh, you're not supposed to put ketchup on
a
hot dog?
No ketchup on a hot dog in Chicago. Don't do it. Mustard, sport pickles, sport peppers. I know it's very serious and it's like very annoying.
Yeah,
chill out. Anyway. Okay, anyone want to plug anything before we get out of here?
Is that it?
I think so, yeah.
Did we do it?
I think we did it. We done did it.
All right. I don't know what to plug because I don't have a job.
And can you plug that restaurant that I wanted to shame that you wouldn't shame?
Which one did
the
I
one in
shame?
Austin?
No, I will not because
one
of our...
It's a roundabout way of shaming them.
Yeah, come on, man.
Come on, Dan.
And a friend of ours chose it and I don't want to shame him.
Oh, let's shame him.
No.
Why? What's wrong with shaming him?
He's great.
Who is he? Just give his Twitter handle.
No!
Come on!
It's a friend of yours too. Shut up,
Tim.
No.
At Tim Balls.
No,
he wasn't even there.
He wasn't there.
Paul F. Tompkins, would you like to plug something?
Listen, I'm on BoJack Horseman.
You don't ever plug it.
Well, because it's like I feel like there's more famous people on that show, and it's being taken care of.
Yeah.
So it's usually like.
And people are watching it because it's on an accessible streaming network.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
But I'm very proud of my work on BoJack Horseman. I play Mr. Peanut Butter, who's a talking dog man. So do check that out on Netflix.
On the Netflix. Thank you so much for listening, and thank you for eating, and we will... how do you stick the landing on these, Paul?
I think you're doing it.
This episode of Green Eggs and Dan was produced by Andrew Steven, executive produced by Jeff Umbro and The Podglomerate. You can find more of their podcasts at thepodglomerate.com. To see pictures of Paul F. Tompkins' fridge, information about the restaurants mentioned in today's episode, and more, follow me on Instagram and Twitter at StandUpDan. The theme music is Beautiful Food by Idan, and interstitial music by Breakmaster Cylinder. If you like this show, please tell a friend, share an episode, and leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
The Podglomerate, a sonic universe.